You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our look at overcoming life sorrows, learning from Jeremiah with the Reverend Dr. Reed Blessing today. We'll continue that conversation in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Reed Blessing, Professor of Theology and Ministry and Director of the Center for Biblical Studies at Concordia University, St. Paul. He's author of Overcoming Life Sorrows, Learning from Jeremiah from Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Blessing, welcome back.
Good to be here.
So last week we talked about overcoming through God's tests. Today we're digging into chapter 16, Overcoming Through Persistence, which starts off with a look at Jeremiah chapter 25. What is unique about chapter 25 of the book of Jeremiah?
Yeah, so the book of Jeremiah can be outlined in this way. Chapter 1 would be the prophet's call into ministry. Chapters 2 through 24 mostly would be reflections on his inner life, his prayers, his laments, his tests. And then you come to chapter 25, which is a Janus-like chapter. It looks back the first 24 chapters and then forward to the end of the book. So then going forward to the end of the book, chapters 26 through 51, it's a long book, right? Longest book in the Bible, word for word. Jeremiah's got a lot to say. But 26 through 51 generally are going to describe Jeremiah's outward life. That is the life and times of Jeremiah, the prophet. All right. And then chapter 52 is a narration of the fall of Jerusalem in August of 587 BC. So if our listeners kind of think, oh, okay, so chapter 1 call, chapter 52, the coup de grace, the final assault against Jerusalem, and then I've got the inner life of Jeremiah, and then, you know, the life and times of Jeremiah, right in between is going to be chapter 25. And it really then is going to link both halves of the book.
So what happens in Jeremiah chapter 25?
Yeah, he tells us that it was the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So that's how chapter 25, verse 1 begins. And you got to love, right? Jehoiakim, Josiah, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. But let me put some of this together, all right? So the fourth year of Jehoiakim, all right, would be 605 BC, and that would be the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, probably one of the most famous foreign kings, right, in the Bible. And why is this an important date? This is going to be the year, okay, when Nebuchadnezzar defeated the Egyptians and Assyrians, a kind of a famous ancient battle, the Battle of Carchemish, and then everything changed. Jeremiah is going to mention the fourth year of Jehoiakim, all right, three more times in his book. So this is a pivotal event. This is a game changer. This is events in our lives where, wow, I actually remembered when I ran out of money, or I got a pink slip, or I got divorced, or my dreams fell apart, or I was abandoned. We just remember those dates, and we might even remember the time and the place, right? So the fourth year of Jehoiakim is Nebuchadnezzar's first year, and this means that now the Babylonians are going to start moving westward, and they're going to finally defeat and destroy the Davidic state of Judah in 587 BC.
So much history.
I love it.
So in this history that's recorded in Jeremiah, where do we see persistence as a theme in the book of Jeremiah?
Yes. Yeah, so then Jeremiah goes on in verse 3 of chapter 25. He says, for 23 years, okay, and then he says a little bit more, but skipping that, he says, for 23 years, I have spoken persistently. And it's a wonderful adverb in Hebrew. Ashkem is what it sounds like, all right? It means you just kind of keep getting up and making the sign of the Holy Cross. I am baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what do I need to do today? And what is God offering me in terms of opportunities to serve Him? It's just refusing to give up. And I've got this wonderful little example of this. Walter Payton, who was a Hall of Fame Chicago Bear running back in the 1970s, 1980s, he rushed for over 16,000 yards. That's about 9 miles against a lot of lean, mean, green fighting machines in the defense, right? And what makes this number so spectacular, over 16,000 yards, he achieved it with someone knocking him down every 4.4 yards, right? Every 4.4 yards, you're just knocked down. I mean, and not just knocked down, I mean, sometimes slammed down. I mean, think middle linebacker, right? Think defensive end. And yet, right, he just kept getting back up. I think that's a good picture to understand Jeremiah, what he's saying in chapter 25, verse 3. Jeremiah just keeps getting up again and again and again.
Is there I don't know if happy is the right word, but a positive side? Because I think when we think persistence, we think of like the grind and grueling effort to just keep going. But is it all grind, or is there's some positive part of this too?
Right. I wish I could say, oh, you know, the grind is about 10%. And, you know, you got 90, you know, it's smooth sailing, right? But we all know that's not true.
No.
F. Scott Peck wrote a famous book. Oh, it came out in the early 80s, 1980s, called The Road Less Traveled. And his first sentence is revelatory. The first sentence is, life is difficult. And that's pretty much his whole book. Life is difficult. And the premise of what he's saying, and certainly this is the premise of the biblical revelation, is this: the sooner we accept reality, that life is difficult, the better we can handle it. That is to say, none of us likes reality sometimes, right? But if we're not living in reality, then we tend to make bad decisions and bring more pain into our lives and the lives of others. So it's best to simply admit life is difficult. Psalm 90 is the only psalm of Moses in the book of Psalms, and he talks a lot about the difficulties of life, and yet, not overly state this, okay? For example, you know, Moses says, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason the strength of 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They're soon God, we fly away. Right? That's kind of a sense of things. But then in verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your, this is one of the most important Hebrew words here, chesed, often translated steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days, which is a wonderful, actually, segue into this chapter we're talking about in Jeremiah chapter 25. This little adverb that I talked about, and I actually spell it out in my book, Osh Came, persistently. If you look at the word, okay, it has sunrise connected to it. Sunrise, okay? This is what Moses is saying. Satisfy us in the morning, Psalm 90, verse 14. And there's just all these wonderful promises of renewal, right? In the morning. And I won't go through all of them. Some of my favorites would be Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping endures for a night, joy comes in the morning, right? We know that Easter is in the morning, right? What's the last title of Jesus in the Bible? Revelation 22, 16, he's the bright morning star. So yes, life is difficult. Yes, we have Psalm 90. Yes, we have Jeremiah 25. But in all of that, for the baptized, we are mourning people. We are third day people. We are hopeful people. And that is a wonderful connection to this Hebrew word translated persistently, persistent.
We're talking with Reverend Dr. Reed Lessing, professor of theology and ministry and director of the Center for Biblical Studies at Concordia University, St. Paul, about his book, Overcoming Life's Sorrows, Learning from Jeremiah from Concordia Publishing House. We're in chapter 16 today, Overcoming Through Persistence. And we are going to press on. We're going to continue the conversation in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
So we're talking about overcoming through persistence today in chapter 16 with the Reverend Dr. Reed Lessing in his book, Overcoming Life Sorrows, Learning from Jeremiah from Concordia Publishing House. So we've been looking at persistence. I'm really curious how much of this is about perspective. In the words of the great modern philosopher Miley Cyrus, life's what you make it. Is this really just all about perspective and how we perceive the circumstances we've been given by God?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't deny that, right? The Bible speaks about perspective a lot, no doubt about that. That's essentially what faith is, right? Mm. Having a heavenly perspective on earthly realities. But God gives us more, especially in Jeremiah chapter 25, than just, hey, look up and don't look down. And hey, you can turn things around with just a better attitude. And, you know, that it's at the end of the day, at the end of your life, right? If that's kind of all you have, it's not going to take you very far. So we need something more objective, right? Than just, you know, me trying to get a better attitude about things or a better perspective. And in chapter 25 of Jeremiah, for the first time in his book, this is verse 13, Jeremiah records God is saying, I will bring upon that land all the words that I have uttered against it, everything written in this book. All right. So for the first time, right here in the book of Jeremiah, we have the word book, all right? In Hebrew, it's sefer. It really means scroll. They didn't have like bound books in antiquity. We've all seen kind of maybe scrolls before. But it's the same idea. For the rest of the book of Jeremiah, beginning here in 25, through the end of 51, we are going to see this emphasis on God's written word. I know in an earlier interview, we picked that up in spades, so I won't, you know, run the gamut on all of that again. I'll just pick up maybe a couple of highlights, right? The so-called book of comfort. This is what I guess scholars of Jeremiah call chapters 30 through 33 in Jeremiah. It begins with chapter 30, verse 2, right? Jeremiah is commanded to write all this comfort upon a scroll, upon a book. So we have God's written word. We have objective truth to help us process life's sorrows and listen to what he says about them.
So what is the difference then between being persistent and committed to God's calling for us and being stuck in a rut?
Yeah. That's a wonderful question. And I would answer it in several ways. All right. First of all, I think what we want to rejoice in is I've got a list in my journal on, you know, my top gifts that God has given me. And the first is himself. I have, number one, the Holy Trinity. Second, I have the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is there. Martin Luther talks about this in his small called Articles, that we have what is often translated from Luther's German, the conversation and consolation of the brethren, right? And we'd probably also want to say the sistren too, right? Brethren and sistren. So ask people who you trust and you know who are in the body of Christ, am I being persistent or am I stuck in a rut? In other words, get another set of eyes on what you're doing, right? Maybe ask two or three people that very question. Is it time to cut my losses or is it time to kind of double down and be more persistent? And I find that to be very helpful. It doesn't mean we have to always follow their advice, but especially when, you know, if you're struggling with this question, you probably just have your head down, right? And you're just going forward, right? This is how I mow my lawn. It's just, I've got a, you know, a push lawnmower, you know, like, well, everybody has a push lawnmower basically, but mine is a R-E-E-L. It's a real lawnmower. It's not a gas or electric powered lawnmower. All right. So I've got to really keep my head down. All right. I got to push. And that's the way a lot of life is. And then you're just kind of grunting through it. And you need someone to say, hey, you know, you need to continue, or, you know, you just need to step back. And the horse is dead. And if the horse is dead, you can't ride a dead horse. I find that to be a very helpful way to make that discernment.
When making that discernment, that when making that decision, do I persist or do I turn? Do I give up? Is there a specific factor in making that decision to persist?
Yeah,
how do you know?
Yeah, ironically, the next chapter in my book, chapter 17. Overcoming through surrender. Oh, yeah. I never thought of, you know, the conversation we're having here, but as I, you know, put this book together, but there is a time to persist. Chapter 16 in my book and chapter 17, there is a time to surrender. So Jeremiah's got this whole dialogue with a prophet named Hananiah in chapters 27 and 28 of his book. And Jeremiah's clear message to Hananiah and those who are following this prophet is, you got to raise the white flag. All right. It's over. It's done. And I'm looking at my book here, page 194, but I say, When we do surrender, when we're not going to keep, you know, mowing the lawn with the head down, right? We do so in hope, all right? And we do so in confidence, but I'm not going to keep, right, beating my head against the wall. And there's this a wonderful verse in Acts chapter 26:14, where Paul is narrating his Damascus Road experience in chapter 26 of Acts. And Paul quotes these words of Jesus, where Jesus says, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. All right. So what are goads? Goads are made of wood, blunt on one end, pointed on the other. Farmers use the pointed end to get a stubborn ox to move. When the ox kicked back, the goads would stab his leg. So why kick against the goats? Why fight God's plans? It only hurts us and hurts people around us. So I've thought about that verse for a long time because I'm a good goad kicker. Thanks be to God, I'm a pretty resilient, persistent, stubborn, put your head down, get the stuff done kind of a person. So I don't lean on the surrender side, and I need to. So maybe that is also a helpful reflection for our listeners. Are you a more persistent person or a surrender person? Maybe if you want to surrender, you need to persist. But maybe if you're persisting, you know what? stop kicking against the goads.
So how do we persist? How do we stay the course and keep going when, like we talked about last week, the tests that we have in our life, how do we keep going and persist through all of those tests and trials in a broken world?
Yeah, that's a great question. And of course, we could answer this from any number of different viewpoints. Mm-hmm. But what I find here, this is Romans chapter 15, verse 5, where Paul says, may the God of endurance. So there's that word, hypomone, right? Stay, you know, under the fire when, you know, God is testing you. And yet this is the only place in the Bible where it says God is the God of endurance, all right? So not to be like, you know, simplistic or anything, but when my endurance, see, my hypomone, I mean, when I'm staying in the fire, I'm just ready to give up and quit, right? I can look to the God of endurance. And then I'm right at Hebrews chapter 12, where it is same word used of Jesus, that he endured the shame, endured the cross, despising the shame, right? I have a God who in Jesus, right? Jesus ultimately stayed in the fire. He endured the shame for me. He endured the suffering and death for me. And I'm going to go to my God of endurance in Jesus, who is going to fill me, all right, with his grace and mercy and fill me with the endurance that I need. And when I fail, and I inevitably do, right, God doesn't give up. I give up on me a lot. I mean, truth be told, I mean, not like every day, but gosh, why did you say that? How could you, you know, and yet God doesn't. He's the God of endurance. He endures us. He endured the cross. And that's where I find kind of the gas in my tank to have not only endurance, but right, a certain amount of joy and confidence and hope, even in, right, the really tough times in life.
I was just thinking, this is great preparation for the LCMS Youth Gathering in 2025.
Yes, it is.
The theme is endure, based on Hebrews chapter 12.
Oh, well, I knew that, but that wasn't on the in my open file in my brain right now. But no, you're right. That is a wonderful in Hebrews 12. You're right.
So what does it mean to be persistent with hope?
Yeah, so I think that the idea is that the challenge, the test, the heat being on, is that's not eternal. It feels like eternal, but it's not, right? It's not. Hope means that there is a brighter future, perhaps in this life, right? Something will work out, a door will open, a relationship will be reconciled, but certainly we believe in the resurrection of the body, the life of the world. So if I don't have hope, then yeah, I'm in a pretty tough spot. And I need to then, first of all, acknowledge that. And second of all, go to where God fills with hope, right? The gospel, the sacraments, and as I said earlier, the body of Christ. Yeah, so Jeremiah 29:11 is, right, all about hope. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God, I feel hopeless. I'm going to claim this promise. God is the God of all hope. Hope. When I'm most hopeful, I'm most impactful and upbeat and joyful, even though, right, my circumstances haven't changed. I've got the hope of Jesus.
Overcoming life sorrows, learning from Jeremiah. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Reed Lessing, professor of theology and ministry and director of the Center for Biblical Studies at Concordia University, St. Paul. Thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.